Welcome back to Exquisitely Aligned. I'm Gina Meyer Vincent, the host and your personal soul shifter, here to help you define and design the future you desire and deserve, the one where essentially you become exactly what the world is missing. And today I'm excited to share with you Darla Ledoux, because she has done exactly that. Darla Ledoux is a transformational business coach, recovering engineer, author of Shift the Field, and founder of Sourced. Sourced helps service-based entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, creatives, healers, and therapists to confidently market, sell, and deliver deep transformation while being guided by their uniquely sourced mission. After following the formulas of other experts for years, all while downplaying her unique magic, Darla committed to doing business differently, reclaimed her inner knowing, sourced connection, and created the soul-led business that feels divinely right. Without suffering or struggle, she envisions a world in which all people access and live by their inner knowing, making it valid, valued, and visible in their most magical way. So Darla, thank you for joining me this morning. I am so happy to share this time and conversation with you.
Me too, Gina. I'm so excited to be here. You know, as you were reading that and I was thinking about your intro and the work that you do, and it's like exactly the journey I've been on is the journey you help people with. So I love it.
Well, exactly. And I was feeling the same as I'm reading about you. There are so many things that we align with. Mm-hmm. And it's just really fun to have Bryna had connecting us. So I want to start with, I love when you say recovering engineer. Mm-hmm. And if you can tell us a little bit about that journey, because I've met several recovering engineers over the years, men and women, and each of their stories is a little bit different, but I find it always fascinating.
Yeah. So for me, the reason I say recovering, not necessarily, you know, any shade on engineering, I'm really glad that I went into that field and that I got the experience I did, because I really help bring structure to things that seem esoteric today. So, you know, engineering is very structured and that makes sense. But I often say our ego chooses our first career. And so for me growing up, you know, I now know, I didn't know this at the time, but I now know I was a seer. Like I could see what was true, what was really going on. You know, pick up the threads of energy. Yeah, you relate. And I looked around at what was going on and the way people were behaving and it didn't match up.
Correct.
It's like nobody's talking about this thing. But I know it's going on, but we're not talking about
it. It's so visible, right? You're like, it's so visible. Like, how could you not, right? It's funny because I understand that very well. And it always blew my mind. Like, wait, oh, there's a disconnect, right? Go ahead. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And because I could start to pick up that people would get uncomfortable if I would say the thing that nobody's saying, I stopped doing that. And so over time, I just really dulled my intuition.
Yeah.
And when it came time to choose a career, and my math teacher, I remember right where we were standing, he said, well, you're good at math and science. So if you can, you should be an engineer. And I had no idea what it was. I said, what is that? I'm like graduating. I don't know what an engineer is. I went to a small town school.
But Darla, I don't think you're alone. My daughter, I mentioned as we were getting ready to film, is turned 18 yesterday and is going to college now. And I don't think that is it. I don't think it matters whether you've been in a small town, big school, small school, private, public. I just think it's our education system and lack of it being able to expose students to like all the possibilities and what their gifts are, right? We could talk about that too. I'll write that down.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Nothing is designed for us to really own our gifts.
Or explore them, right? Yes. I mean, it's more like stifled, like, oh, you need a math tutor. You need to get better in, well, not math, but let's say whatever it is.
That wasn't me, but I might have
did something else. I love math too. Math is still one of my favorites. My kids are always like, oh, here we go, the math woman.
I needed a gym tutor.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know. Wait, it would have been terrible if we were on the same little soccer team or something. But you know what? We could have solved the world's problems on the sidelines. Sorry, but go ahead.
That sounds about right. Right.
You were saying that the math teacher said engineering would be great.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't know any different. I asked, how much money do they make? And then he wrote all the different types of engineering on a piece of paper. And I said, which one's the hardest? And he said, chemical. And I circled it and I walked straight to the guidance counselor's office and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to be. So if that gives you any sense of my, which one's the hardest? Send me there. But I wanted to get out of my town. But also looking back, you know, so I wanted like, what's the fastest path to making enough money to leave my town and do something with my life? But also looking back, it's like, as an engineer, the numbers, the spreadsheets, you know, the data makes decisions, not you. Mm-hmm. And I was so out of my intuition at that point, you know, literally I just let him tell me what to be. It was great because I didn't have to have opinions. You know, I did, but like I always had them backed up with data. So no one.
Right. Proof, social proof, exactly. Right? Our society. I have a story for you with that. Go ahead.
So when I am, I'm in my career and I got promoted pretty quickly. And two things notable about this: at my performance review, when I was getting promoted, my boss said, your soft skills are great, Darla, but you might want to tone them down a little bit because they're only going to get you so far here. Those exact words. And I was like, what's that mean? And basically he said, you know, to be a leader in the company, I was working at Procter & Gamble. They hire almost all engineers for everything. You know, to get ahead in the company, you need to go do work in the lab. And I was working doing market research and working with customers to find out what they wanted us to develop. And so that was going to be inherently career limiting. And so at that point, I started to scratch my head a little bit and think about what I really wanted to do. And around that time, they sent me to a training. I got nominated to become what they called a consulting pair, which was basically a diversity coach, I'll call it. So we would coach people who had just started working together to help them identify any judgments they might have about each other that would get in the way of them working together. So super advanced, really like doing, you know, mindset work with people really transparently. And so to go through that training, we had 14 days of residential training where we had to look at our own biases so that we could hold space for other people. And it was in that training, I really felt the call to do this work. We did an exercise called the fishbowl and everybody sat in a circle. And then in the center of the circle, one person would sit and share their story about their judgments about, and there were multiple of these about race, about gender, about age, about sexual orientation. And everyone on the outside of the circle would give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down if they thought you were telling the truth. You know, it's not about not having beliefs or biases. It's about being honest with yourself. So there was something in that process. First of all, I got physically sick because I had never sat in the center of a circle and told my truth about anything. I was masterful at this point at not being present to that. But I realized we can tell when people are telling the truth. So alignment, right?
Right.
We can pick up alignment.
Yes.
And I thought, why is everybody not talking about this? Because then we dove into our story and the beliefs we inherited from our parents, yes. how they influenced how we treat people and show up to life. And I just was blown away. I couldn't believe that this was the first I was hearing of this idea. And I thought, everybody needs to know this.
Yes.
So there was some part of me at that point that decided this is what I want to do with my life.
Meanwhile, they thought, oh, we're having her, we nominated her to go to this so she could come back and work for us forever. And you come back right. and say, oh, hey, I loved it so much. Thank you very much. I found my path.
See ya.
You
know?
Yes. Bye.
Exactly. I know. Thank there were a few people. That happened for a few people who went through that training. Yeah. We quickly
well,
departed.
Because they were correctly selected, right? Mm. Obviously, when they nominated you, they knew you had this, or I believe they probably knew that you had this gift that is so, you know, I think it's so powerful, so needed, and especially now. So yeah. I wrote down, I circled social proof. I was at a networking event that was a mixer on Thursday night. And it's a group I belong to, and it was melded with another local area, same brand, let's say, mm-hmm. of group. And so I went, and it was noisy. You know, for me, I love connecting with people like on a deeper level, but when it's noisy, it's a little, you're not going to be screaming across the room something so private or intimate like we're sharing right now, right? And for me, a mixer is more like mingle, like, hey, shake hands, mm-hmm. say hello, maybe learn a little something. You know, I would immediately be attracted to you, Darla, because of your energy, your mm-hmm. smile, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, can I have your card? Let's connect. You know, I'll call you to connect. But this one gentleman who had a position of power, he was like, how do you, you know, like what gives you the right, the power essentially to do the work you do? And I don't consider myself a life coach. I have to put that down for this group because they only have a few choices of what you're allowed to be. So that's a box that I don't like to be pushed into. Right. And then the other part of that is, like, I don't feel like it's an education. What I did when I was, whatever, 18 to 22, for those 4 years of education, it applies in some ways, but really it's the 55 years of my life's twists and turns. It's the three-step program that I was able to prove over and over that works, kind of like the work you do, right?
Yeah.
And I just, I left there a little bit agitated. I have to be honest. You know, I usually try not to get agitated, but this just kind of, I was like, and I was speaking with my husband who happened to be with me because we had the week off. So we said, well, we'll play all day and then we'll hop here for the 2 hours and go on our way, eat dinner and go home. And he said, you know what I think it is, Gina, you were there for more of a mingle, a mixer mingle. And if you were on an interview, like, then yeah, hey, Darla, where'd you go to school? Let me see your resume. And the funny thing is, my professional bio lives on my website. It's there in plain black and white mm-hmm. for the person who needs social proof. But I was talking.
All I can think is this man's mode is so outdated. He has no idea. We don't do that anymore. Everything is energy.
So, Darla, I need you to come with me to my next meeting. No.
Okay.
That's exactly. I said to my husband, honestly, I don't even remember the last time someone asked me about like what certificates or schooling I had. I said, I actually for a moment was like, oh, do I look that young? You know? And then I was like, clearly I don't look that young, you know, like
what gives you the right to ask me that?
Well, that's what I said to my husband. I said, and I'm going to use a strong word in this. I shouldn't throw it around like that, but it was this sense of feeling like somebody stripped my clothing off,
yeah.
you know, and invaded my space. But what I
I would just say that man probably does that all the time. That's the way he does what he does, right?
Most definitely. I agree with
Hopefully
you.
Not literally, but
I know. Yes, exactly. No, I left, and those were the revelations. Like, you know what, Gina, there are people who are still living in what I call living in a box, where they, instead of using the ability to communicate and form this connection where you either, like, I see Darla across the room, I want to get to know her. Then I go over, I speak with her, and I'm like, now I'm intrigued. We definitely have to leave this party and talk another time, you know, because my intuition is what energetically calls me to over it, because I like the way you look. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that you glow from the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, I also like your hair, your makeup, etc. But there's this energy that you have. And I thought to myself, you know, most people I attract people who come to me because they think I'm fun. This guy wants to, you know, this guy is like, he just wants to, you know, like bare bones. Well, what gives you the right to do what you do? And I thought to myself, clearly you're not my client.
Yeah, that's really a tricky one. I don't know how I would respond to that in the moment, because it feels so aggressive.
It was aggressive. And coming from a man, it felt even like, do you know what I'm saying? Mm. It felt really weird. And the weird thing was, my husband was in the room, and I was almost like, and you know, and I never, I mean, my husband's such a lovingly magical man. He is not confrontational. He'd rather run to his man cave than be in any kind of confrontation. So it's not like he's Arnold Schwarzenegger and coming to like, hold on, I'll swoop in and save the day. But I was almost like, and the weird thing was, when he met my husband, it was a totally different energy. No questions asked about education. So I was like, okay, clearly it's the part of being empowering and transformational work that has him a little on edge.
I feel this sparks two thoughts. One is, you know, this is how my brain and I have recognition magic is one of mine. And we'll talk about magic, I'm sure, at some point. But how I see it is, the hold of the patriarchy is lessening and lessening. Yes. And it's frightening. And so to people who have been successful based on those traditional rules and structures and all of that. And so for you to just be here audaciously self-expressed and feeling wonderful and not adhering to all of those rules is going to feel threatening, right? And so I think it gets like people latch on as long as they can.
It was so evident. You hit the nail on the head. It was just so evident. And I think because I was standing there in my power with nothing, I didn't feel like I was there to prove anything. I was there to mix and mingle. But it was like he had to pull the rug out from under me, like, no, that's not allowed, you know, but go ahead. What was the other thing you were going to say?
Well, and I'm assuming this is coming up because we're supposed to talk about that. So, and then I just, you know, being an engineer, female engineer, like when I went through engineering school, I was still a vast minority in school. Yeah. And then the department I went into, I was I think I was the only woman. Besides the administrative assistant, I was the only female in my immediate department.
Yeah.
So, you know, to get that guidance of how to be from someone who's a man in the male structure, who's wanting to get ahead himself. And, you know, he gave me his best guidance.
Right.
That he knew. But it makes me think about when I first started going networking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because anyone listening here, I guess I want to say, we're going to face this stuff. You know, we're going to face, if we leave the house, we're going to have people who are going to have some kind of response to me. And at the beginning, all it took was someone wrinkling their nose when I said I was going to become a coach, a life coach, right? I'm going to, here I am, an engineer, And I had a lot of baggage about, you can't just go be a life coach. Like, that's crazy. But it, yeah, and people would wrinkle their nose and I would stop in the beginning. And then I got committed to finding out if I could do this.
Yeah.
So I would go networking, you know, and you stand up and you have your 30 seconds to say whatever you say and sit down. And I would go, and I knew with certainty the thing I helped people with. I didn't know how to talk about it. I didn't know how to, you know, I had no words. I had no experience marketing and selling myself, but I knew that who you're being is more important than what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I am giving
Which
you
that man obviously doesn't.
Right. For those on listening in on Apple, I am clapping my hands, you know, silently to not overpower Darla, but yes.
Yes. So I knew that. And then I said whatever I said. So I would stand up, I would say something, I would sit down and I'd be in my mind berating what I said, right? Like, oh, why'd you say it like that? You should have said this, whatever.
Yeah.
But inevitably, people would come up to me after and say, I really don't know what you do, but I think I need you.
Right. Exactly. And that's exactly the, for me, it's like you said, when you leave the house, right, we subject ourselves to other people's opinions. They're all over the place, from a wrinkle of the nose to a, why is her hair standing up? Does she know it's standing up? Did she get electrocuted? Does she want it standing up? You know, how did she
get it? I love that about you, by the way.
Right? But yeah, but that's what I always get. I always tell my husband, I know it's a good cut when I get some people who are like, oh yeah. And then the other people who are like, oh no, what on earth? You know, I said, if I don't have a reaction when I walk into a room of strangers or I pass people, then I know, oh yeah, it's not a good cut. Let me go back, you know, but there's always this, I call it societal noise instead of norms, always this, you know, and I think that we crowdsource our confidence when we listen into the naysayer saying, Darla, you're a very accomplished engineer who's been promoted, who's been nominated for, you know, like, what Kool-Aid were you drinking? You know, what are you thinking? Do you have a fever? Should I take you into the doctor? You know, are you sure about it?
Definitely got some of that.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, so I see you as a very strong, confident, powerful woman. And I mean power in your beautiful essence of standing in all the gifts you have and possess in the way that only you can. It's as unique as your fingerprint. But at that time, were you that person already, or were you becoming her?
Definitely becoming.
Okay.
When I started, gosh, there were things I knew that I knew that I knew, like that experience in that training. That's why I go back to it, because it was like, I call it the punch in the gut moment, where it's like, pay attention to this. Like, this is something. So I knew deep within that we can sense truth.
Yes.
And then I went back to work and I realized how often we were not in truth. Like, there was the meeting before the meeting before the meeting to make sure everybody would say the same thing in the meeting, right? Like the politics, literally, like, okay, do you agree with me? Okay, great. We're going in together. Let's get this person to say the same thing and then we'll all agree. And
it's like war mentality is what I so back in the days when I was a department store buyer, both in Manhattan and then when they relocated me to the main office headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, it was like, are we going into war? Because
they literally would have a war room.
Right. It was like, we had like, you know, okay, you say this, then that person, and that this time we'll do this. And like, it was just this weird, and all of us buttoned up. And let me say, I did love wearing pantsuits. There's just something fun about them for me personally. I don't know. I do like the structure. I'm out of the box, but yet I like structure. I'm kind of like you with the math and the spreadsheets and blah, 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 blah. But it was a very, like, I'm glad you brought that up, because I haven't thought about that in long time, but it's so true. So true. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes.
I got excited.
Yeah. I mean, I just started to think about all the time wasted and what could happen if we just said the truth, our individual truth, and create, right? And I'm a big fan of that. I have a leadership training program, and that's really the intent, is that source is here between you and I, and whatever gets created in this moment is what's meant to be created. And if we trusted that, so, you know, I had like the seeds of that back then, and I felt strongly about that. And I felt strongly, I took Landmark Education, was kind of my next training, where they talk a lot about who you're being. And I felt, I had a felt sense of, and the results of shifting my being and watching things happen. Like I had money miracles happen and different things. And so I knew that that was true. Mm-hmm. And you know how there's a part of you, this is where my magic quiz and everything come from. You know how there's the part of you that, sees it and you know, you know about how you perceive the world. But then you think other people see it that way.
Yeah.
And I think so much of sorting out what our gifts are is understanding what we perceive that others don't.
Right.
And exactly. So it was like, I knew this. And so I could go in and be confident that I knew this. But then I also thought everybody knew this.
Right.
And then I would learn people actually don't. Right. And then even if you know, for example, that energy is more important than action, you know, we need both, but like if the energy's off, it's off. You can know that, but still forget or need a reminder.
Yes. Correct.
So I started to discern that my energetic perception in life was valuable. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that in the beginning. So was I confident? No, I was terrified. I would stand up. I would say the thing. I would feel sick. The first networking event I went to, I went to the bathroom and left.
Yeah.
I saw the people in the room and I like, and I just took off.
So let me ask you another question. There are so many things we can talk about, Darla. I'm like, I've got a million notes here. You may have to come back because I'm like, oh, that's juicy. That's okay. Juicy. So put me on your calendar, new friend. So with the naysayer, or what I would say is a naysayer, somebody who's coming with their opinion that doesn't align with what your dreams and desires are, you know, how did you handle them then? And we talked a little bit already about the gentleman who was kind of undressing me by going like, no, just tell me what's your degree. I don't want to know about anything, all the 55 years that you've lived and what you bring to the table. I just want to know, bottom line, what's the degree? And I'm thinking, I don't even know where my degree is. Where is that diploma? I moved. I left New York. I went to North Carolina. I'm now in California. Like, do I have my degree? Is it still valid? You know?
I just had a private client day with a client who's got a PhD from, a master's from Yale. And she's just so like, doesn't even talk about it. Super humble, like almost like, you know, but when you're there, maybe you realize it's not that big a deal. So, but he hasn't.
Not yet, but you know, he's, it's now my new mission to befriend and like show another way of, you know, like here, I have some rose colored glasses. Let me show you what the world, let's like update you a little bit, you know, like a fashion makeover. I told my husband, yeah, you watch this. Because if I could convert one person like that, think of how many lives would change, right?
The ripple effect if he just stops asking people that, right? Because we're so conditioned that men are in power and that we should answer their questions, you know? So it's tricky. Well, here's what I believe.
The way you said that. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Because I believe everything is energy. And so, you know, I think about in the very beginning, literally people would wrinkle their nose and I would like try to, I'd read a new book about trying to find a different career. Even though everything was pointing me to being a coach, I thought like, there's got to be like a credible career that's like similar. Because I didn't know then that I was so rebellious and I wasn't going to follow any rules anyway. But what I believe is that when we're, it's sourced, right? So if we're fuzzy in our commitment on something, we're going to get that reflected by the way people ask things. So in the beginning, I had a website and I was doing a little newsletter and I, you know, I had my coach certification. I went to coaching school and got my little certification and I
borrow it to show him.
Why now? Sure he'll think it's really credible. But what I didn't do is update my LinkedIn profile because I felt like I needed to still look professional on LinkedIn. Yeah. And because I thought, what are people going to think? They're going to be like, are you crazy that you became a life coach? So I left that, you know, engineering based, and people would ask me when I would tell them what I was going to do, they would often say, I don't understand. Aren't you an engineer? That's what they would say. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I realized that I was creating that because I felt bad about my choices, I went and updated my LinkedIn profile. I also got a couple clients that just showed up out of nowhere from my tiny little newsletter list. And then people stopped asking me that. So our energy is inviting these things in, right? So this guy might be inviting you to get feisty about this because
and Feisty is part of the parent company. Blissed Outfit and Feisty is my
LLC. Oh, right.
So yeah, you hit it not right on the head. Totally. Like, yeah, hold on. This is, but you know, it's great because it was a great reminder for me, because when you do the work that you and I are doing, you tend to attract the other people, right? Mm-hmm. Who are like, oh, I need to meet her. I don't know what you do, but I want to work with you because you have, I walked into a room and I had a bag over my shoulder and I walked in and the woman pointed at me. She's like, I want what you have. And I was like, my bag? And she's like, no, what you have.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I have? You know? And then I was like, my necklace, the other
How
necklace?
Great that she said you
know?
That.
Well, it was so funny. And everybody turned, you know, it was only, we were nine people and the 10th person walked in like confused. What are we talking about? And I was still trying to figure out, wait, what are we talking about? Like, I just arrived. I know I'm a couple minutes later than I wanted to be, but I'm not late, you know?
Certainly that's not the first time someone's reflected that to you though, Gina.
Well, out loud in where other people heard it. Yes, it was this was years ago on the East Coast, but I was like, oh my God, but right? So when somebody comes with that outdated, show me your diploma, what degree, what certificate, prove to this, you know, it's like, I don't even know that I want to work with you. Like, yeah, really? Like, next, who are you? Where did you come from? What rock were you under? Like, the world's changed already. It's shifted. But it was a great, great, great reminder for me of all the things we just hit on. You saying, we live in a society where we believe men still hold the power and that you answer, you know, even from my childhood, like if somebody asks you a question, you answer it. No, you don't always have to answer the question.
Right.
Sometimes not worth your energy or your time. So you mentioned networking, and I'm guessing, Darla, maybe I should ask you instead of guess, but I feel like you're a twin. You're my blonde twin, my fair luxurious with the blonde friend. I know I'm energy sensitive. Would you say you are too? And I think Absolutely. That when we walk into a room, especially for me, where it's networking, where it's an exchange, it's an energy exchange, but sometimes it's coming from, how do I explain this? For me, I would say it's coming sometimes from a wrong place instead of a place of love. like I'm here to connect you with whoever I can help you. I want to know what would help you achieve your goals, you know. But sometimes I think when we go into a networking group, it's not the way I go in, which is, hey, I'm looking to see who I can help connect with, what their destiny is, what legacy they want to leave behind, or even just what future they want for themselves and their family and furry friends, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had to learn that too, because the structures, at least some of the, I started my business in Cincinnati, Ohio, super conservative, you know. Yeah. And a lot of the structures were very transactional.
Yes.
And but there were a lot of amazing people I met too. So, you know, both hands. I don't network much anymore, but I go to events. You know, I went to an event recently, which was very exciting. But since COVID, like I haven't done a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And it was a group of soulful, it was called the Soulful Business Retreat.
Oh,
and we had 100 or so people. And every single person was coming from that place. I didn't have a single interaction that felt like, okay, what can I do for you? What can you do for me? It was very, you know, tell me about, you know, what brought you here? What are you excited about?
Yeah.
Which feels amazing. And I just see, you know, to come back to this conversation about kind of, I'll call them the masculine structures we've inherited and then the feminine that's, up and coming. And it's not just like, what do I want to say about this? It's not just like we're going to lead in this different way, but how do we bring both together? And, you know, I don't know if you resonate with this, but I feel very balanced in my masculine and feminine.
Absolutely.
And how do they come together in harmony?
Yeah.
But to do that, we have to step away from the transactional approach to business that we've been given. Yes. And, you know, I'll sit with the logical marketing funnel, right? Mm-hmm. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And then I think about, okay, but if it's being that collapses time, right? Because if we're being the person we want to be at the outcome now, we collapse time. Like we have access to that outcome now. So how does that apply to marketing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do we really have to do this, then that, then this, then that to get to the outcome? But there's so many people who, you know, have been making so much money on teaching, do this, do that, do this, do that, you know, right? And then we don't want to not comply.
Right.
And I've had all kinds of experiences with breaking the rules and having it be amazing. But I've also had, okay, I'm going to break the rules and it doesn't work. And so, I have a thought about a more feminine approach, but I want to see what sparks.
So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I had this conversation with somebody the other day, and they weren't in the same field as you and I, but I was explaining how in 2017, when I started my business on my own, you know, I paid lots of money to this coach, that coach, and learned the funnel concept and how we offer. It was an attorney I was meeting with yesterday who was asking me about what I do. And I said, you know, in our business, especially with access to the internet, where you can meet many people, I said, initially I started my business thinking I had to do those things, which for me, what I was taught is, you mentioned a newsletter. I had a digital health and wellness magazine that I built so much up with Facebook ads that I had over 16,000 people that received this magazine monthly, which became like this heavyweight monster for me personally, because I am, as much as I love math, for me, it's more quality than quantity. And I had to realize that I'm not into that. Do a webinar, give free advice, then build this, invite them to a webinar. Now, I love invitations and I love experiences, but a webinar, not fun for me. Very, very much exhausting. Doesn't make me want to thrive. A retreat, like you mentioned early before we started filming, yes, right up my alley. Mm-hmm. But a webinar, no. And then you pitch a next higher product, a next higher, a next higher. And this way, while you're sleeping, Gina, people in the UK and whatever will be buying your product and you could be a multimillionaire. Well, number one, I love money. It's energy. It helps us live a lovely life where I get to feed my kids and now they go to college. But it also gives us choice. My husband's a double organ transplantee, so he can have choices as to which hospitals he receives his care at so that we can, you know, sometimes fly him to Mayo Clinic and pay for a hotel. So yes, I do.
That's motivating.
Yes. You know, like there, for me, there is value in money because it helps us keep him alive, and never mind the immunosuppressives, all the other things. But sorry, I went off on a tangent, but this business model that I tried fitting into and tried making work was so draining that I was A, gaining weight. I was exhausted and I was beginning to feel like angry from within. I didn't know what I was angry about, but I figured it out very quickly. I was angry that I was trying to replicate, duplicate, fit into what should work for everyone else. But the truth is, just because it worked for someone else doesn't mean it aligned with who I am. And I was explaining to this attorney yesterday that I choose only to work with a few people at a time. You know, the man, back to the man. How many people do you work with? Why do they need you 24/7? Well, because life happens. And I want to touch them on such a the soul level, like we talked, you and I share many things in common. I don't usually say magic, but I say gifts and talents. So I think we align and we just have different words or ways of explaining. But as I'm getting goosebumps, they definitely very much are in alignment, you and I, or at least I feel. I don't mean to say that without asking you, but I feel like we align.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Because definitely. I don't want to
Well, and I'm really relating to what you're saying about, you know, choosing a business model that works for you, that lights you up, that, you know, you're not feeling like you have to do the thing to get to the eventual thing that you want to do. And I also hate webinars and I just, you know, I have to keep reminding myself, like, you don't have to do that ever. Yeah, I've found some like cool ways. So one of the frameworks that I teach at this point after, you know, leaving engineering, following my intuition, not talking about it as intuition, I didn't feel particularly spiritual. I did align with the idea of energy. And today, you know, my company's called Sourced, and Source is energy. Source is spirit, you know, God, spirit, the universe, collective consciousness, all that is, however you want to think about it, the ether.
All of them. I usually just put it out there as, I love that you listed so many. And I just feel like it's important for you and I always to leave it open to whatever is the right word for somebody that day. Sometimes at 11:05 a.m. it's God, and then by 11:35 it's energy, you know, you know, universal wisdom. So for me, it's like I never pick a. For me, it's not one word. It's just having sourced. I love it. Go ahead. Sorry.
So, what? Gosh. A couple years ago, well, let me go back a little. So I was doing business. You'll love this. I was Aligned Entrepreneurs. That was my business for a long time. So I had the word aligned in there. And then I started teaching retreat leaders how to host profitable retreats because that was what was aligned for me. And everybody kept asking me, how do you do what you do? And so I started teaching it and then I taught it for a while and I wrote a book about it so that I didn't have to keep saying the same thing. And then, anyway, long story. I was doing really well with this program, Retreat and Grow Rich. People knew if they wanted to host retreats and they were coming and they were confused about what they're really selling because they knew this magic could happen.
Right.
But how do I talk about it? So I was helping people with that for quite some time and it was all going really well. And I hosted an event on top of it. So I was doing small retreats, helping people craft their retreat. And then if they wanted help to implement it, they would join my long-term program. And that was all working. And then I did this event because I didn't know it at the time. It felt like, oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to do an event. And I had Liz Gilbert come speak at my event. She happened to be in the city I was having the event in at the time I was having it. And I felt like my intuition had guided me to go look at her website. And then I saw that she was going to be there. And I was like, oh, that must mean she should come speak at my event.
Yeah.
So I paid her a ton of money. And I thought, okay, it's going to be really easy to fill this event because it's Liz Gilbert, you know? And it wasn't. It was so challenging to get people to come to this event. And I just thought I would, you know, send emails, do a webinar, and it would fill.
Do the right things.
So, you know, and then there was a moment where I was talking to a friend and I said, gosh, if it weren't for this stupid event, my life would be so easy right now. And I heard myself say it and I thought, well, this isn't, first of all, no wonder it's hard to fill if you're calling it stupid. But I didn't think it would be hard, to be clear. But this, your life would be so easy right now. And I started to see that all of my retreat work was easy, like so easy.
Yeah.
I had a Facebook ad running and it would fill the event. Yeah. And like it was really actually easy. But in my being, I had no felt experience of easy.
Yeah.
So I made it hard, right? And then I had the voice of one of my first coaches in my head who said, if you don't do big events in this industry, you're no one. And that was her belief. And that was, she said it over and over. And so I didn't want to be no one.
Right.
And so there was like this compulsion to do this big event, even though, you know, she wasn't my coach anymore. It was like from the past, but it was still living.
Right. Yeah.
And so I realized, wow, my ego really created this event because I didn't want to be a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't do that, life would be easy. And so I thought, what if life could be easy?
Right.
And like, mind blowing.
Yeah.
And then I had thought it was intuition, right? Intuition definitely told me to go follow Liz Gilbert right now.
Mm-hmm.
But my brain filled in the rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, the interesting part is between the time I hired Liz and the time of my event, she came out dating a woman and I was married to a woman and it was a big, like, life altering thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think spirit was just saying, hey, pay attention because this story's coming.
Yeah.
But my brain went, okay, I've got to make something happen here.
Yeah.
And so from that point, I went to work really tuning into what is my divine guidance and what is my brain? What is my ego? And I hired a coach to help me because I was never going to do this work on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to hear that too, because we think intuition is natural and we should just know it. But the truth was, I was so programmed in my masculine, and that first coach I worked with was super masculine, like do everything, throw spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks. That was her philosophy. Oh,
And I think that very much was, well, still for some, it's still that. Yes.
And we're not trained. Like you said earlier in school, we're not trained to look at our gifts and follow our intuition. And for me, intuition and magic are the same. So I have a whole framework called Sourced Magic, which helps you identify how your intuition speaks.
Right.
Because for me, I paid someone a lot of money to sit on the phone with me every week while I sat and listened to see if I was getting any messages from source.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would not have sat still by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as coaches and guides, we can be so tempted to give answers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this coach was willing to sit there and not give me any answers and be in my extreme discomfort about having no answers. And it helped me here.
Yeah.
And I, you know, rebranded to Sourced during the beginning of the pandemic, and I wrote my next book, and in it, there's one chapter on what's called the Sourced Magics. And they had come through when I was leading a retreat, and I had noticed that clients kept asking me, do you think this is, I think I should do this. What do you think? I feel like source is telling me this. What do you think? And they kept asking for permission to trust what they actually knew.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, how can I give people blanket permission, you know, to really trust themselves? And that's where this framework of how your intuition speaks to you started to come through. Mm-hmm. So I taught it at this retreat to this one group. It seemed valuable. I started bringing it up with individual clients. It seemed to help them. And so I turned it into a chapter of the book. And then I created a little quiz that people can access. But it's really permission to know what you know.
Yeah. And I think that permission is something I had a concierge client need permission for her worthiness. To own her worthiness. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes, I mean, so I gave it to her in that moment, but I said, that's temporary. Mm-hmm. Really, it's coming from the permission from within, kind of like you were alluding to. Like sometimes it's like we have to ask the parent or ask the outside. Again, we're crowdsourcing. We're always trying to get the opinion of someone else. Like, am I right? Am I right? Yeah. You know, hey, teacher. Hey, Darla. Hey, guru of, you know, the all-knowing magic, you know, do you think it's right? Or do you think I'm crazy? And it's, it was so, initially like, you know, like, cause you feel like the big mama, like, oh gosh, you want permission. Yes, of course. And I think that's a big thing. I think we need to give ourselves permission to feel into, to hear our magic, our intuition, our inner knowing, however our gut instinct, however it comes in, whatever word matches, based on your beliefs, you know, or what word makes you perk up and feel good. And I think we need to give ourselves permission to even feel into like a conversation like you and I had today, because we both agreed. Mm-hmm. What they don't know is you and I both agreed, hey, I have a couple of words on my page, but let's just go see where this conversation takes us. And for me, I love when people are willing, like yourself, Darla, to play in that space, because I agree with you, whatever is supposed to, we create this exquisite conversation, because you're in your space and your power and your truth and in your knowing, you're and balanced in your male and female energy the same way I feel, then look at what we created. So I see the clock is telling me it's time to wrap up a little bit. So I think it's a perfect time to ask you, what invitations might you have for our listeners? And I do want them to know, if you don't have a pen or pencil handy, all this information will also be in the show notes. Go ahead, Darla.
Yes, I want to frame this as, if you think you might end up with some random person asking you to prove yourself, I just want to give you permission in that moment to trust your magic.
Yes.
And, you know, the reason we think we need permission is because of that, right? Like permission to know what we know, because we're trained that we don't, you know, that someone else knows better. Mm-hmm. And that's changing, but we're all going to be faced with countless moments like that. As you know, when something is, I don't know, that's terrible, about to die, and it just like flails, it's kind of like that, right? We're going to be faced with a lot of that. So the more you can trust how you know what you know, and that you do know what you know, and it's valuable, the better. So I have a quiz called the Source Magic Quiz, which is really how your inner knowing works. There's six types of magic: compassion, recognition, expansion, expression, vibration, and sensation magic. Mm-hmm. And it will give you a little personalized report about your magic. You know, the more we've been working this with our clients, most people resonate with two. There's one you owned consciously, and there's one that you hid because it felt a little edgy. So you can play with that as well.
I love that. And that link will be in the show notes. So please go ahead and visit that.
Yes. For those here, sourcedexperience.com/quiz if you're listening and fast acting.
Yes, absolutely. Cause that's what I like to attract, fast acting. So I'd love to pull a card for you. I shuffled them. I'm going to shuffle one more time. And on there is a word. These are conversation starters, meditation prompts, or journal prompts. So as we talked about earlier, feeling into a conversation. So as I thumb through, Darla, if you would just tell me when to stop, I'll read the statement and three questions and you can answer what you wish. So I'll start.
Stop.
Okay. Oh, this is perfect. Multifaceted. You're a multifaceted, radiant soul, right? We talked about going from to here. So this is, I did charge these cards with the energy to be the right card for the right person. So I think this is definitely working today. What are the different sides of you? What are the different sides you like most about you? Why? And how do others perceive you? We touched on some of this, but if you want to answer that, that would be great.
Yeah. I mean, the conversation I'm deeply in right now is around masculine and feminine energy and how we hold them, you know, where we have a unique blueprint that's ours, and then we can learn to master them. So for me, growing up as an engineer, bringing structure to things. And really it goes younger in the household I grew up in. I took on for myself. I decided, okay, obviously no one's creating structure here. I will do it. And so, that comes really naturally for me. And I've been in a massive transformation around, what if I trusted other people to also have their own structure and be responsible for that and how my feminine side show up. Right. So I've always been, you know, very nurturing in the container. And, you know, there was a point where I'm like, ooh, my mama bear is coming out about this man and what he said to you, you know, there's that. But really what becomes possible when I don't have to bring structure and I get to play with whether it's mine or not to bring. So
I love that. And it's so fun. I mean, yes, we need some structures, right? And I think societal norms began when we lived in tribes and we wanted to keep as a parent or grandparent, aunt, uncle, keep the children safe. Like you don't explore beyond here. There's animals, there's people, you know, there's arrows, flying arrows, there's, you know, and then there's also, right, if this person leaves the small town and are they not going to come back? You know, due to death, due to the desire that there is something bigger and greater, you know, maybe the ocean, whatever it might be that attracts the person or, you know, a future spouse, a love relationship, friendships, career opportunities. So it's very fascinating. I think they served that societal noise or norms. It served a purpose, but do we need it now? You know, and I love the quiz because I love the fact that it gives people the opportunity to remember or reconnect with the magic within. I'm a big, big fan of that. So, Darla, it's been so absolutely amazing, delightful. I have so many other notes here that we didn't get to speak
about. So fun.
About.
Let's do it again.
Yes, I think we should because I really feel there are so many topics that we could hit on and our words choices are different. Our voices are different. Our backgrounds are different. And I think it's always nice for people to be able to hear it from someone else because the way you may say something or create that space for them to feel into it could be different than what I could bring to them.
Yeah.
And so thank you for playing with me today and creating such an exquisite conversation. You are delightful. Mm-hmm. And I am so thrilled. I commend you for stepping into owning your magic, even when others were doubting or concerned for your safety and your well-being financially, et cetera. But you showed them, you know, that you're here to guide others in such a magical way. So thank you for doing that. It's we need you. We need you big time.
This you. Is
the right thank time. You. Thank you. And so I
You're
just
so
want to
incredible.
Say, well, thank you, my new friend. You don't need my that diploma that I'm trying to find. No. So I just want to say, if you're at that point where you're where Darla was, and you've experienced something where you're kind of something's nudging or eating at you that maybe there's more to you and what you offer and what you bring to the table. And maybe you're tossing and turning at night. If so, I'd love to connect with you. Visit exquisitelyaligned.com. Till next time, be exquisite.